Communication is as much or more about what is heard as it is what you are saying. When it comes to cueing and leading a yoga class practice, it's just as important that teachers understand the impact of how their words and language is received as much as it is about what you have to say. Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. I want to quickly remind you that the third anniversary podcast review giveaway is going on now through October the 31st. If you'll click the link in the show notes, you can get more details on how to submit your review as well as enter the giveaway. I'm excited to partner with Rad Mobility Products, my favorite, for this giveaway, as well as I'm offering some great opportunities to connect with me through some growth strategy sessions, and one winner will receive $500 tuition voucher for my online 200-hour yoga teacher training that is launching next month. I hope you'll join in the celebration. Your reviews make such a big impact on the visibility of the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training podcast, and they contribute towards the expansion and connection of our global listening community. So let's talk about cueing. When it comes to teaching yoga, cueing and the language used to lead and facilitate the space of a yoga practice experience are at the top of my ongoing refinement and deeper understanding. And it's at the top, and I've been teaching for well over two decades, but this is so important. The effectiveness of teaching resides heavily in our ability to communicate effectively in the transfer and the sharing of how to guide others safely and within action and alignment with the principles and tenets of the practice. Before I share the top five considerations that will make an impact on how you approach cueing, let me first share three key considerations that will layer the foundational approach to cueing even more, and I'll use three words to share this. First, refine. If it's hard for you to say, it will be hard for others to hear and implement. The next word, space. Give students time to do what you're asking and guiding them to do. This requires time. Put the brakes on and get skilled at planning where you can provide instruction and extra information earlier in the class experience as a point of emphasis in the practice, and then sprinkle in time throughout the practice for students to explore that particular focal point more fully. The third word is restraint. This is a good one. It's a big one. Seek to clean and glean your language. Let your priority be to say less so that the students might actually accomplish more. You don't need to share everything you know about a pose or point of emphasis, so avoid filling the space with extra words. Show restraint. All right, let's dig into those five factors that will make a bigger impact on your approach to queuing. First, intention. What is your intention with the queue or the language that you're using? This applies to all types of queues you are using. It could be a literal queue that has an actualization component to it. It could be an energetic queue, which is what I call a felt sense. And then there's a metaphoric type of queuing. It's creative, or there's an intrinsic quality, a natural knowing with this type of queue. It could be an intention with a directional queue, a direct action outside of the body, an exterior action-oriented queue. And then it could also be an intentional queue that is descriptive. It's attention, maybe more of an interior focused, a body part per se, or region of the body. Another impact on queuing is going to be action. Ask yourself, what action or actions am I trying to offer to students to explore? Are you seeking to support students with a heightened literacy of movement within the structure, right, the anatomy of their bodies that they are residing within? Thirdly, when it comes to an impact on your cues, what is the message? What are you trying to convey? Now, be careful here. I believe this is a slippery slope, and that if we aren't careful, we could be communicating misconceptions of the quote goal of the practice. Our words and cues could be keeping students on the exterior of the practice experience, focusing more heavily on the aesthetics of what the yoga pose shape looks like, rather than emphasizing the deeper impact that comes within the shapes when we use them as vehicles to aid in making our way through our lives, through the practice experience, and finding the balance between the effort and ease, and this ability that we can communicate that equips others to do the same. We can equip students with the tools that they will need to navigate the rocky and sometimes unstable terrain within their inner landscape. Remember that ultimately you share and you teach what you deem is important within the practice. If you convey the message that the practice is more about perfecting the pose rather than relating to the people in the poses, then that is the message that students will ultimately hear and receive. Fourthly, focus. What alignment, what action or anatomy focus or principle are you trying to teach? Focus on relevance rather than some desire to validate your knowledge by sharing anatomical terms. Part of teaching is educating. Educate students to understand their bodies and how they move. When it comes to educating, be mindful to cue and use language that supports anatomical reality, meaning use caution to not paint the picture that the body is designed in ways that aren't necessarily realistic. So there are no flat surfaces or shapes within the interior design. So using terms such as flat and even square are not congruent within anatomical reality. Rather, consider the use of those types of words, what you are trying to convey. Instead, consider words that imply directional aspects, such as functions or lengthen or hips forward might even better convey the message and focus of that organizational cue. Lastly, when it comes to making a bigger impact in your cues and the language you use, consider the implication. What does the choice of your words imply? What could students actually be hearing? I'll speak to the aspect of what is being received and heard more fully in just a few moments. But for now, when it comes to cueing, consider these helpful tips. Seek to limit yourself to three clear and concise cues per pose. Use your language and cues to support students with making their own adjustments in the yoga pose shapes. Begin to cue to what you are seeing. I'd like to add here as well to cultivate empathy within your selection of words. I recently received an email from a student expressing her thoughts and experience from a recent class she had taken. And in this class, the teacher, which she did state was one of her favorites, had made the comment regarding a particular pose that was presenting some obvious discomfort for many in the class. And she says that the teacher made the statement with a little giggle, even, she added, that, quote, "It's the poses that cause discomfort that are usually what the body needs the most," end quote. The student sharing this with me was, and I'll use her word again, she was irked, as she called it, by the lack of empathy displayed within this statement. She also acknowledged that she felt there wasn't any intentional harm meant by the instructor that used this statement, and felt that the phrase may have even been used at a time from a nervous interpretation of the reaction that obviously was taking place during the implementation of this particular pose. The student sharing this with me expressed her desire to share the situation with me due to the fact that she knows I work to train and mentor other teachers in their development and maturation of their skill set. I certainly appreciate the student's willingness to share, and at the same time, it heightens my awareness even more to the impact of our words, words implied and received, and it matters greatly. It matters so much because it has the ability to support and equip others with the ability to create sustainability and stability and longevity in the practice, especially the asana aspect. But it also contributes greatly to the other aspects of the practice and what we are teaching through the words we use. Our words can serve to build up and edify, or they could do the opposite. They could impede or distract others from experiencing what the teachings of yoga are asking us to explore. Lastly, I want to highlight that what you as a teacher are saying might not be what the student is hearing. Everyone has their own background and context that they are overlaying on top of what they are hearing. It's our role as communicators, as yoga teachers, to consider this perspective and to adjust the way we communicate accordingly. Certainly, we can never fully know what others are hearing unless they share with us their perspective. But we can heighten our awareness in this area and seek to refine and evaluate our words, our cues, and the language we use. We can choose our words wisely. Think about it this way. When we aren't evaluating this aspect of our teaching skill set and making effective communication a priority, it potentially means that the desired outcome we seek may suffer. Good communicators, effective yoga teachers take the time to understand the student they will lead, to understand how to prepare to meet people where they are, and seek to know better how to fulfill the needs of the various students that will enter into the practice space and the ultimate experience and encounter that they will have with the teachings of yoga. It's not as easy as relying on a set of rote cues, a set of cues that you were equipped with in teacher training. Once you've gained some traction and teaching experience, then it's time to refine in this area. It will require work, and it will require a willingness. The reality is that the desired outcome that I believe you seek in making an impact teaching yoga will improve when you focus on what students hear rather than solely what you have to say. Thank you for joining me today. Will you do me a quick favor? Take a moment and click the follow button. There's no obligation, but I want you to know when you do this, it makes the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training podcast more readily available for you to access the new episodes, and it also makes the podcast more visible for others to connect and listen. The podcast is celebrating its third anniversary this month, and I am beyond grateful that you contribute to being a faithful listener and you contribute towards the inspiration and the conversations that I continue to pursue on this podcast. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey, and I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.